for agreement. What agreement has the temple? Doesn't God say that, but you are the temple of God? What does it say? Why is the temple of God looking for agreement with idols? Just throwing it out there. For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. Now look at this. I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So you're already God's, and you're already saved. You've already shed tears, and you've already believed, but you can still leave here looking for some agreement with something besides him. Got really quiet there. Therefore, I love therefore. Therefore means everything I said, everything I'm about to say is connected to what I just said. Therefore, he's already said, I will dwell in them and among them, walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Say, receive you. Say it again. Say it again. And say, times two plus one equals seven. They say if you repeat a thing seven times, you got it. So I'm just trying to give you a shortcut. I will receive you. You're going to get that in a little while. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, see, we go into chapter 7 right there, but there's a therefore. So what I said in chapter 6, I'm carrying on into chapter 7, and I said all that to say this. So he says, I'll dwell among you, I'll walk with you, I'll be your God, I'll be your people. Therefore, come out and be separate. And don't touch an unclean thing, and I will receive you. Therefore, you see this? Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I grew up in a denomination where we did a whole lot of perfecting the flesh, stuff that you can see, but we didn't do a lot of perfecting the spirit, things you can't see. Because this is our responsibility. He saved us, and here's the thing about the things in the flesh. When we get saved, we start trying to get rid of the things in our flesh that everybody can see. And I want to look good when I come in here on Sunday morning. And I want to act right, and I want to fit in, and I want to come into agreement with what's going on in the house. But then we realize I can leave here, and nobody saw my secret spiritual struggles. And God didn't just wipe that off of me, because if he did, I'd be in heaven, and it would never be a struggle anymore. And here's the thing, if he got rid of everything that was bothering me and I were like him on earth, I would have no need for him on earth. He does not get rid of everything. So if you start coming in here looking around thinking, I wish I could be perfect like them. They ain't perfect. This guy holding the mic ain't perfect. And all his single wife said,
amen.
Amen. Agreement right there. He ain't perfect. Close. I heard close. It's amazing what I can pick up when I want to. He close. I like it. He close. Perfecting holiness. See, I came out of a holiness church. And perfecting holiness was getting my language right, my intake right, what I was putting into my body. It was getting my dress code right. It was getting the way I talked around people right. And then I learned when I came to church, There was a language that I could speak in it, and I'm not talking about speaking in other tongues. I'm talking about speaking in King James. How art thou doing this week? Like, wow. You know, we started praying the thuses and the thous and all of this. But the Bible says perfecting holiness is being cleansed on two dimensions, flesh and the spirit. What you can see and what you can't see. And this is what helps you. If it's going to be a perfection in the spirit, you got to go to the spiritual one. You got to go to the Holy Spirit to get your spirit clean. Because I found out this. You could come to church and you can sit in a space, but so can jealousies and envies and strifes, and they occupy seats in the church. Yeah, spirit. There are other spirits that like to come to church too. I promise I'm not trying to be mean. We're going to go somewhere from here. Okay. So I want to flip back to, I want to go to Numbers. No preacher ever preaches out of Numbers, but let's go there. In Numbers chapter 6, just the first 7 verses, let me read them. There's this thing called the Nazarite vow. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when either a man or woman consecrates an offering to take the vow of a Nazarite, to separate himself to the Lord." There was actually something that they could do as a volunteer basis, and it would be considered as them taking steps to separate themselves unto the Lord for a set amount of time, like a cleansing period. "When you decide to take this vow of a Nazarite, separate yourself to the Lord. He shall separate himself from wine and similar drink. He shall drink neither vinegar made from wine nor vinegar made from similar drink. Neither shall he drink any grape juice nor eat fresh grapes or raisins. All the days of his separation, he shall eat nothing that is produced by the grapevine, from seed to skin. All the days of the vow of his separation, no razor shall come upon his head until the days are fulfilled for which he separated himself to the Lord. He shall be holy." Holy means separated. "Then he shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow. All the days that he separates himself to the Lord, he shall not go near a dead body. He shall not make himself, he shall not make himself unclean, for even if his father or his mother, for his brother or his sister, when they die, because his separation to God is on his head. All of the days of his separation, he shall be holy to the Lord." If you know where I'm going with this, I'm going to Samson. Now, the story of Samson, it's an incredible story. But I want to pick out a couple of parts of it. And it's that this. Samson, when God gave his mother and father Samson, that Samson came with some pre-existing conditions. He was going to be a Nazarite from the day he's born, from the womb to his death. He's going to be a Nazarite. So those vows that some people did for a set amount of time, he was supposed to keep for his whole life. He wasn't supposed to ever drink a thing or touch a grape or touch a raisin or a seed, none of it. He was not supposed to touch a dead thing and become unclean. And he was not supposed to, as you know, cut his hair. And we all know the story of Samson, how that he laid his head in the lap of Delilah and he told her his secret about the locks of his hair. And as he fell asleep, she cut the locks of him and the strength of God departed from him. And the Bible says even this, he said he shook himself as before and did not realize that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. See, there's religious things that we could do that we can shake ourselves and not realize that we have disqualified ourselves. And though we shook ourselves and it looked like a thing, it ain't a thing because the Spirit of the Lord had departed from us. Be very careful. Quiet again, quiet again. I need to turn about 30 crickets loose in here so I can at least get an amen from the crickets sometimes. Judges 13, verse 1. Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord, like I said, Judges 14. Oh, no, that's 13. We're good. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. Now, there was a certain man from Zorah in the family of the Danites whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now, therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." So the woman came and told her husband, saying, "A man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God, very awesome, but I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. And he said to me, 'Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now, drink no wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death.'" From the womb to the day of his death. Now, we all know that Samson was mighty through God. And that Samson, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord would come upon Samson, and he would do mighty things. And they did not know where his strength came from. And everything that we teach children at church and wherever, they always show Samson, this big buff guy. I do not believe that for a second. Because the question was always posed, like Delilah was always trying to ask him, where do you get your strength? If she saw a big, huge guy, nobody asks a big, huge guy, "Where did you get your strength?" They say, "Oh, I see you've already got your strength. Look at you." And it was mysterious how Samson could do this. Because I believe he was average. Maybe below average. But what he could do was so far beyond what a normal man could do. Because the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. If you want to be strong in Christ, find out what it takes to get the Spirit of the Lord working in your life. Exercise spiritual muscles. Experience spiritual gains through his spiritual supplements. So this is an amazing story right here. And I just want to read you this from verse 5. And 6, and God was at work on Samson, and he was about to go find a woman to marry through his father's instruction. But on his way, it says there's chapter 14, verse 5 and 6. So Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came to the vineyards of Timnah. Now to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand, but he did not tell his father or mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. After some time, when he returned to get her, he turned aside to the carcass of the lion. And behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the carcass of the lion. He took some of it in his hands and went along eating. When he came to his father and mother, he gave some to them, and they also ate. But he did not tell them he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. What's that got to do with anything? Well, you might have figured out why you got the taste of the sweet thing a little while ago. It wasn't honey, but it's like honey. And it's made in the same fashion that maple syrup is made. Trees are tapped. The liquid comes out of the trees on a maple tree. That is boiled in a vat, brought to a particular temperature, and hydrometer is read. And when it comes to the right percentage, then you've got delicious maple syrup. That sugar cane, you've got to explain that process. But honey only comes one way. Honey comes from a honeycomb. Y'all remember, come to the honeycomb hideout. I was like, yeah, I want to go to their fort and play. And only saw it for a second. But this honeycomb, or this little comb, this is just a little wasp's nest found outside. It's representative. I like toys. So I was down in Florida this week. And my friend owns an incredible piece of property. And it's old Seminole forest growth. It's been like this since forever. And they've actually got a deal with the federal government that you'd have to understand what land it left me. There's an exchange that if you want to purchase land to develop, you have to buy these land permits from these people that own this land. And there's an exchange that comes so that the landowner can actually keep their land and have their land, but it will never be developed. That's the whole thought process. Land credits, that's what they're called. Land credits. So they have these land credits. His farm is an 800-acre farm. There's another plus thousands of acre beside this property that is exactly the same way. It's in the exact same process, and they have several animals that are protected on that. There are bears on that property. There are cougars. Matter of fact, the name of his area is called Cougar Slough, and that's no joke. He sent me a picture. I was down there turkey hunting a couple years ago, and he sent me a picture that he caught me on a trail camera walking by. And he sent me a picture. I'm just walking down there with my camouflage, my shotgun over my shoulder. The next picture he sends me that picture. It's like, I got you. And then the next picture he sends me is the same camera picking up two mountain lions, two cougars, on that same stretch. I promise, it's on my phone. I can show it to you. It's on my phone. What did I say? Phone. But that's how wild this place is. So we're walking that exact same path Thursday. We're walking that exact same path Thursday. And all of a sudden, Kevin grabs me. He says, whoa, bro, come on, come on, come on, go, go, go. And I look back, and there's a tree. And about this high, there's this huge mass of bees. And they're starting to swarm, and they're going nuts. And we walked right past this tree. And he said, they got me last year. They tore me up, and they almost got us. And I look back, and they're going nuts. And there's honey that comes out of that. And it's an incredible thing. So you just tasted something very similar to honey. Now, honey is one of those natural things that, I guess if you don't like it, maybe something's wrong with you. How can you not like honey? I mean, it's like it drips off the throne of God. It's so good. But on earth, it takes the possibility of some pain to get to, right? Samson, I'm not preaching against drunkenness. I would preach against drunkenness. I'm not preaching against ever having a drink of wine. I'm not. But in Samson's case, he had a vow before God. So for him, it's wrong. And if you struggle with alcohol, I would tell you it's wrong for you to have. If it messes with you at all in a bad way, it's wrong. And it's wrong to be drunk on it. But Samson, y'all like that little sermon? That was enough. Some of y'all have been like, here he comes. Like I'll stand behind. At night, they'd tell you that in a court of law. They'd tell you that much in a court of law. So here's the thing. Samson had already broken his Nazirite vow in earlier chapters. He had already got drunk and broken one portion of his Nazirite vow. And you know the story that he's going to end up getting his locks cut. So he's going to, in the future, complete the total hashing and slashing of his Nazirite vow. This was the other part of that. You remember what it said, do not touch a dead thing? You remember that it said while Samson was walking through the vineyard, a young lion came roaring at him, and it said that he tore that lion apart with nothing in his hands. In other words, barehanded. It means he had no weapon, he had no knife, he had no stick, he had no rock, he had no spear. But it said that the power of God came on him, and he took that and just tore it apart. It said, like you would tear apart a goat to eat it. Some of you have torn apart some goats, haven't you? I'm seriously, lambs. Goats sound so bad. A lamb. I'm sorry. A delicious lamb. You know those animals that we eat? They have to die. Y'all understand that, don't they? You don't go anywhere and pick a box of beef, you know. Hey, look at these. It looks like the ribs are going to be good this year, honey. Look at here. Anyway, sorry. I admit that was bad. And you don't get those 10 seconds back either. But so Samson, the power of God came on him on the way, and he slays this lion. And it's such a powerful thing, he doesn't even tell anybody else. He doesn't even tell his mother. Dad, can I tell you, there's some victories that God has for you that are so private that you don't tell anybody because you don't want anybody to know. But it was a private thing that he brought deliverance from you. And it was so incredible, you didn't even have a weapon to fight it with. So you know it wasn't your power, but it was God's power. But remember I told you there are things that can happen here in church, holding our Bible, looking good, doing things here, and if we're not careful, we'll separate ourselves, leave here, and come into agreement with something else just because it looked good at the time. So Samson leaves that thing, and it says some time passes, and he goes back by that same way. There lays the carcass of a dead lion, a dead thing. You remember vow number two? Don't touch a dead thing. But Samson wasn't concentrating on the dead thing. He was concentrating and drawn to the honey that was inside the dead thing. That is a picture of the deception of the enemy. Oh, it's a dead thing. Make no mistake about it. Oh, yes, there's a penalty for doing it. But the honey, Pastor John said it was so good. There's a temptation. You can say to yourself, Samson wasn't running on a full deck. What was wrong with that guy? He stuck his hand down in something that was dead. Oh, gross. And it said he went away walking, eating it. Just, didn't it say it? I just read it. It said it. Let me tell you something, friend. You're Samson. And I'm Samson. And it is in us to stick our hand into a dead thing, not realizing that this sweet thing is wrapped in death. Because your Bible also says the wages of sin is death. Death has a payday. Death has a payday. What do they call it? People that own business, I need to go work on payroll. Death is, the enemy's always working on payroll. And he's writing a check to you if you'll take it. You'll directly deposit that thing if you'll let him. But that victory that had been there for him before, that was so private that God gave him victory of, he was blind this time. Why? Because it didn't come roaring at him like it did the last time. Maybe it even looked dead. Maybe it even looked like I could handle it now. But he touched it. And on that note, he had broken two of his vows to God. And you know what was coming for him? You got to be careful what you touch. We just read scripture in 2 Corinthians. It said, be careful. Don't touch. Be careful. I got to read it to you because it says this. Therefore, come out and from among them and be separate. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord. He makes one stipulation that is an advanced place. He's already said, and in verse 7 it tells us these are promises. These are precious promises. The first set of promises, I will dwell with them. I will walk with them. I will be their God. They will be my people. And then he gives one more thing. He said, come out and be separate and don't touch an unclean thing. Don't touch an unclean thing. There are things that you can touch and you did not realize that it was holding a power still in it. Have you ever heard of a capacitor? Okay, everybody here probably has a cell phone. And when you charge it, your cell phone has a little light in it. And it might be red at the beginning, or your charger where it plugs in. What's that called, a little block or something like that, with that little thing? Whatever your lightning strip goes to. Well, I don't know. I'm asking for help. Charger block. No, I can't get no help. I preached a little bit on alcohol and everybody got scared. But y'all seen those? I've got one that turns dark blue. Just a little strip, like a little rectangle light, an indicator light, turns dark blue when it's charged. And I can take my phone out, or it'll charge anything. But I can take it out of the wall and look at it. Though I've pulled it out of the plug, and it's blue while it's in the plug, I take it out, and it stays blue. And I like to walk around with it till it quits. All of a sudden, it goes away. You know why it did that? Because it had a capacitor. So it was still holding on to stored energy. Let me give you a real definition of that. This is don't you hate when things leave your phone? Well, I know it's right there. Come on, phone. A capacitor. Why is it dangerous to touch a capacitor? Physical contact or close proximity to the open power supply caused a discharge from the capacitor that resulted in an electric shock. Capacitors can discharge current even when not energized because they hold a charge for some time after the power is turned off. Do you understand that there's things that you can't touch and you just can't touch them and you can't touch them and you can never touch them? And if you want to reach this place where he said, if you won't touch it, I will receive you. Didn't he just say that? You remember, I mean, y'all said the word receive three times, and then two more times, and then one more time, and then another time, seven times. Receive, 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 receive. He said, I will receive you, but here's the deal. Don't touch an unclean thing. There's always, I know that was Samson, and I know there's things that we do in our lives for a while. We fast for a while, and we say, I'm not going to eat that for a while. But there are some things that we're just not supposed to ever go back and touch. Because there's some things that still have some stored power up in them. And what got you last time, it might not be roaring at you, but it's waiting on you. It's waiting on you. Don't try it. Don't test it. It'll get you. And it might not even get the person beside you, but it'll get you. But don't worry. If it got you, the person beside you, there's a capacitor for them too. There's something they're not supposed to touch. None of us get out of this. And he's saying, I'm making you a promise. I'll be your God. You'll be my people. I will walk among you. You will sense my very presence right there beside you. Therefore, come out and be separate and don't touch an unclean thing, and I will receive you. That's what it says. I will be a father to you. You will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Why is it that we can have such a powerful service? And if I let you go this morning, you would have left here saying, man, that was powerful. I hope you would have. I would have left here saying, whew, that was powerful. God, you're so good. Remember this. When you leave here, there is a pull on the human that's always looking for agreement. That dead lion is laying there with honey in it for every one of us to come and touch. Just come and come and come and touch. And it's different for everyone. Or it might be the same for this one and that one. But there's something that'll get all of us. And you got to know it. But this is what I wanted you to get. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Receive you. And that interpretation of that word, receive, means this. The verb to receive in this instance, and it's the only place that I could find in the Bible that it's like this, the word receive. The verb does not signify to accept. Yes, God accepts all of us. Yes, God accepts us. God will accept you. God will work on you. Every one of us are in a process from the day we receive Him until the day that we're received up into heaven. But that's not the kind of receive that He's talking about. He's got a promise that He wants to get to you, but the requirement after salvation is that we stop touching the dead thing, and I'll receive you to myself. Because here's the proof. In this instance, the word to receive, that verb does not signify to accept. It signifies to admit. Not that I'll accept you, I will admit you. The only way you get admittance into something is that you're going from that into this. And everybody can't get in unless you're admitted to go in. And the ones that go into this level are the ones who have dropped off touching dead things. The rest of it says this, it is a future thing. And he will, it says that he will receive you kindly, contextually, to treat you with favor. There is a place that God has reserved for you that He wants to bless you with. But it takes something on your part to walk into that place. Some people say favor is not fair. I say favor is admitted. Favor is something that you've got to drop off of you to walk into. And that's what He's calling for. I told you a little while ago, this is a powerful word. This is a word of leaving different than I came. Leaving different than I came. And only you will know. I'm sorry, He'll know. But to know that as wonderful as it feels when we're together worshiping, there's a place that He wants to walk with us. There's a place that He wants to talk with us. There's a place that He wants you to know, I'm your Father and you're my child. And it is a place that I have reserved for you. And it's not a place that I accept you into. It's a place I admit you into. And it's for us. God for us. God with us. Nothing will stand between us. Nothing can separate us. There's a place that he has for us. Christine, will you come believe that? We sang that about as powerful as you could sing it. But I want to sing it quietly as an invitation. And I want you to imagine a place that you want to go in God, but it's not just a place that you can just buy a ticket and get into. You've got to be admitted into. And he knows. He knows what nobody else knows. He knows all the many times that he's given you the power to kill that lion. But you got to quit going back and touching the honey inside of the dead thing. I don't have any idea what that really means unless you just shared something with me privately. And I promise you, I constantly ask God to help me to forget what people tell me. I constantly, God, help me forget what people have told me. I don't want to know, but it's part of my thing to have to hear those things sometimes. I'm saying that to say this. If you think, oh, Pastor John's just nailing me today like one of them bees he talks about, no, I'm not. You know what the private victories are in your life. You know that God's helped you with that lion. But after that lion has roared and God helps you kill him, he's not going to roar anymore. He'll just lay there. He'll just lay there and be dead. You'll decide, does he stay dead? Or can I just touch him? There's a place of admittance for you. I want you to see difference in your life as a goal. Just like I said a little while, Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. I want there to be something that's set before you, that admittance into a place with him, that I'm going for that. I'm going to sense his presence in my life, and all these other dead things, I'm not touching them. I'm not touching them. Because this is so much better than that. Yes. Some of you just need to get a goal in front of you of his presence. This morning, on a Sunday morning, Christine does this a lot. She'll have music playing in the house. Music playing in the house. Just so peaceful, wonderful music. She told me this morning, she said, I don't know what channel you got on, but man, that is good. And we were back in the room doing the finishing touches on Getting So Pretty. It only took Christine, like she breaks records with that. It took me a long time. I know. That's supposed to be funny. Thank you for the two little half giggles. Appreciate that. All of a sudden I noticed the music had stopped. I'm like, I went walking into the living room. I said, who turned my music off? And it had just got paused. It just reached the time when it just paused. I hit the button. It came back on. Doesn't that feel peaceful? There's a place of peace for you. You set the tone in that. This is your opportunity to set the tone in that. By telling yourself no. Let us therefore cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the spirit and filthiness of the flesh. Let us, God with us, cleanse ourselves I take part in this. You take part in this. It's a daily thing that we do before Him. God, cleanse me. God, cleanse me. I'll take part in cleansing myself. There are some things that you've been giving yourself a pass on. You need to give it a no. And you need to stand on that word, no. That was my old life. That's dead. It's dead. It's got death connected to it. You know what I'm talking about. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this amazing day that you've given us. It's just so beautiful, just so beautiful coming to church today. Just such a beautiful day that you made. You've given us an awesome time to worship you and God. Your word has gone forth, and your word will not return void, because your word produces. And in us, God, let it produce not just the desire to do better, but the resolve to let some things go in our life. There's no benefit. The benefit is death. Who wants that? So that we can live for you through Jesus, I pray. Thank you, because we know that the power is already there. You've helped us slay the lion. You've given us all private victories, God. We probably know when the lion got slayed and where he lays. Let him be dead. And let us not go back and touch that anymore. So that we can partake in these very precious promises that you've promised, oh God. You're not like a man. You don't lie. There are promises in you for us. Let us walk into them. We're simply obeying you and making the decision to cleanse ourselves through Jesus and what he did. Can you just say, as you leave today, can you just say, God, thank you for my moment. Thank you for my moment. Thank you, God. I believe I can leave here and not be the same. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you as you go this morning.